What's up, Northern Hills? Hey, it's good to be with you here this morning. I didn't get to say this last week because I didn't open up our teaching series, but Happy New Year! Has anything been going on that's a little unprecedented or new for you over the last 10 days? Hey, my name is Brandon. I'm our Connections pastor here at the church. I'm also part of our teaching team. So again, I want to welcome you here. If you're joining us for the first time, we are thrilled that you're spending time here with us at Northern Hills. If you're there online at any point that you're joining us as well, welcome. Welcome to this family. We are in the second week of this teaching series called Here As in Heaven. And as we talk about the new year, I think we're in a good place to talk about the heavenlies, the kingdom of God, and things that are very, very important for us to dwell on in this space and this time. So we're going to go ahead and just kick right off. We're going to start with a story this morning. And the story starts like this. One Sunday afternoon, a father was trying to take a nap, but his little boy kept bugging him with, "Daddy, I'm bored." And so trying to occupy his son with a game, the dad found a picture of the world in a newspaper. He cut up the world in about 50 different pieces, and he said, "Son, see if you can put this puzzle back together." Dad lay back down to finish his nap, thinking the map would keep his son busy for at least an hour or so, an hour nap. But in 15 minutes, the little guy woke him up. "Daddy, I've got it finished. It's all put together." The dad was floored. "Ugh, what? You're kidding me." The father knew his son didn't know of all the positions of the nations. And so he asked him, "How did you do it?" "It was easy, Dad. There was a picture of a person on the back of the map." The dad remembered that he had given him a picture from a newspaper. And so the son continued, "When I got my person put together, the world, it looked just fine. When I got my person together, the world looked just fine." I think there's a couple questions that come to the surface when we think of that story is how in 10 days here in the new year, 2021, how's your perspective of the world right now? What does that outlook look like for you as it's just framing the world over this first 10 days? And then a quick follow-up question would be, how's your person in the midst of that? How's your person doing when it relates to your perspective of the things that are, the things that are to come? See, during this series, I believe we're not only trying to answer those two questions, we're trying to answer a number of different questions, but we're trying to answer those questions in light of eternity. We're trying to answer the questions in light of our framing of heaven and the kingdom of heaven. Pastor Sam did a great job last week starting us off into this series, and he really challenged us to see eternity, to see heaven as Jesus saw it. He's giving us perspective of Jesus and the way he framed things in Scripture. I love how Sam challenged us to think about the kingdom of heaven is, because the Bible references the kingdom of heaven is quite often. And what Jesus was speaking to was the reign and rule of heaven, the reign and rule of God. See, Jesus wasn't just talking about some far off place, and that's where we go when we are in the midst of a heaven series. It's the future, it's the then. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about a presence. And Sam challenged us to just consider this idea of heaven not being just this one day place, but a 2 day presence in each of our lives. Because that reign and rule of God in our everyday, it's going to frame how we see our everyday. It's going to frame how we see the world, how we see ourselves, how we see each other. And so we've been saying it this way, and we'll say it this way for the entire 4 weeks we're coming together. How we see heaven is how we live on earth. How we see heaven is how we live on earth. Now, innately, I think many of us can relate to that story of the little boy in the newspaper. We know that the world is going to look much better when our person is much better. When we're in a good place, generally our framing of the world and the people in it is in a good spot. But I believe that some of us are under the illusion of changing our person as being an impossibility. because we've been there before, or we've tried to change. In fact, we're really early into New Year's resolutions. I don't know how many of you have kept yours within 10 days, but some of us have already sort of dropped them. They've been broken, and maybe that's already starting down the path or the roller coaster of, well, here we go again, that change that I've wanted, that's not going to come. See, we've tried to work on this. It's not that we haven't tried to change. It's not that we haven't ever tried or attempted to bring that about in our lives. And perhaps we've prayed. Perhaps we've been asking God, would you just come in and make some of these changes? We feel like we've prayed that prayer consistently. Nothing has happened. Maybe we've read a book or listened to a series of great sermons, maybe a bunch of podcasts, and those numbers of things, they in the moment seem to be really moving, but the long-term change we've hoped for in our lives doesn't seem like that's existed. Maybe we've gone even deeper. We've gone to a trusted friend. We've been part of a group or a community that's encouraged us and brought us to a place of thinking through, no, this can be about. Maybe even some of us have visited a counselor just to look how to be better. But it just doesn't seem to succeed. We've eventually surrendered our hopes because of not having the success or the expectations we've had. So we surrender those hopes. See, here's what I'm more and more convinced of. If many of us would just take the first step of realizing that there is a problem. And I'm not talking about just a defined problem, the thing that you want to change. I'm talking about admitting that there's a problem of sin. There's just a problem of our brokenness, that we are all broken, but we're just broken differently, that we've been hurt by people, that we've hurt ourselves, and that, yes, even the tough mirror-looking thing, that we've actually hurt others as well. And the Bible calls it sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. It means that we're just all imperfect. None of us is perfect. We've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. We've all tried to maybe make those changes, and either we've stumbled along the way, or some of us have tried to make the changes, and we've failed all together. Sin means we've been hurt, and that we've hurt others. So Happy New Year. If that's not an encouragement, I want to encourage us. Because if we can admit that truth, if we can just admit and say there is a problem in this space, in this world, in me and in others, I think we step quickly to also admitting something else and admitting the truth of what God's word tells us in Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit that lives in you. See, here's the good news, and here's the truth that we can all lean on in the midst of admitting the first problem of sin and brokenness in this world is admitting, and we say it a lot around here, if you're not dead, you are not done. God is looking to transform each and every person in this room, not just for 2021, but for a legacy. A legacy that he wants each of us to live. That alone, that truth alone in Romans 8:11 makes you important. And it makes change possible. And if we just keep making excuses about, oh, that just won't ever happen, I believe we put God in a box. I believe we're putting him in a box that he can't make that happen. And we insult God's power. We think of him as less than, because that's not what scripture teaches us. That's not what truth teaches us with God. See, with God, all things are possible. And it's even the thing that you think isn't. And since the beginning of time, I'm just like you. I've tried to find putting my person together in a lot of other things that aren't faith in God or aren't the truth of scripture. But the thing that I've continued to come back to as I've looked for all the wrong things to fill that gap, there's only one place where there's this tested and proven, absolutely going to work principles. And when I continue to find myself back in God's word, the Bible, that's where some of these principles and some of these truths that have long existed become true of my life. That's where some of that change starts. We get to hear from great men and great women in Scripture, none more than important than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Today,
I want us to look at some principles that are heaven-focused. But here's what caught me off guard a little bit this last week. Again, a lot of times when we're talking about heaven, we dive into the final book of the Bible, the Revelation, and speak to a lot of things that are found in there. We'll talk about prophecy and those kind of conversations. But if heaven is a two-day presence, it was so interesting how God led me to this place in the Sermon on the Mount, the famous Sermon on the Mount, and that's found in the Gospel of Matthew. And these specific scriptures that we're going to be looking at today, Jesus is speaking to living our lives here as in heaven. But a warning, just a warning before we get into this, heaven on earth, it may not be exactly what each of us are expecting. When Jesus says in these following eight statements, some of them don't actually make sense upon first reading them. At first glance, they might even sound like contradictions to us. So let's check this out. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you grew up in Sunday school, if you grew up in the church or a church circle, chances are you've heard of these. These are called the Beatitudes, which is in the Latin word. They're referenced as happiness or blessedness, which I think we can all get on board for. The minute we hear about happiness and joy and having our lives blessed, we sign up for something like that. That's something we all want. But for context, I think it's really important that we look that Jesus was speaking to two different kinds of crowds as he was speaking to that happiness and blessedness state. He was teaching here, and in Matthew 5:1, we see one of the crowds. Now, Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Okay, so his disciples, there was some focus there of what he was and who he was looking to teach. But look what happens by the end of Jesus' sermon, Matthew 7:28 through 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. The crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teacher of the law. Now it's clear, Jesus' specific target was his disciples specifically, but the crowds gathered. The crowds gathered together to listen, and Jesus wanted them to listen to this sermon as well, even though it was primarily addressed to a certain audience. I think that's really important for us to notice, because I think that's how we camp out here even at Northern Hills. I'll just tell my story. I know in preparation for a teaching, I'll take time to really focus on a lot of times the whole. But inevitably, I think where my pattern leads me to in teaching is to edify the saints. Or another way to say that would just be to speak to the person that probably has a relationship with Jesus in some form or another in the crowd. That's just a leaning I have. I think it's my heart to feed and strengthen and inspire someone that already has a relationship with Jesus. And it's because I trust so much the power of God's word. So even if we're in a story that we've heard hundreds and hundreds of times, if we're in a passage of scripture that someone is going to be way familiar with, I believe that the Holy Spirit living in each of us has a way to enlighten us to a new thing and to a new truth for our lives because he's speaking to us individually. That's where a leaning happens. But that's not the only crowd I prepare for. That's not the only crowd where I camp out because I'm also praying and trusting the more and more that we seek to exist as a church, the more and more God is bringing people here. And people here that have never had that context of that relationship with Jesus. I would call them maybe curious. Maybe even you online right now are just checking this church out for the first weekend and you're just curious to see what we would want to say on any given thing about people, about our world, or whatever. And perhaps that even goes that much further from the curious to folks that are skeptical, folks that have questions, searchers, maybe even doubters, maybe some people that have their doubts. And I just want to say to all the crowd, trust me, we've all been there.
We've all had our questions and we've all had doubts. We continue in this journey with God to have questions and some of us having doubts. As a pastor, I'm preparing for the crowd as just to hope and trust that God, whether it's here on a Sunday or whether it's viewing online, that God is going to move in the midst of that. That it's not just going to impact the disciples in the room, but it's going to impact that curious person as well. And so in speaking to two different crowds, one of our core values here at Northern Hills is to seek God desperately. We will seek God desperately. And I just want to challenge each of us as we're heading into this new year. I believe that speaks to pursuit. What are you choosing to pursue in this new year? Because if anything that COVID's taught us in 2020 is that we don't need these four walls to pursue the Word of God. But the Word of God is transformative. So how we seek God, how we see heaven, and how we find out about him, that's going to impact how we pursue others, what we pursue in this world, and how that impacts our life and what our life looks like in light of that. It's this peculiar thing that God does through his word that we can even just not say a word at work or to our neighbors. And they just see something different in us. I was speaking with somebody between services, and he was mentioning how he's just attempting to let his light shine, and he's not even bringing up like, okay, this is what Romans said, or the Romans road of following Jesus. I'm just trying to live my life and love people well, and just have this light that shines out of me. And all of a sudden, what he's noticed is they're beginning to ask more and more questions about his faith journey. Why do you do this? Why do you go here? Why are you joyful in this time and this place? And he's just living those things out. He's looking to have that inward change. I think it's a great reminder for us, whatever you're looking to pursue this year, and maybe that's just as simple as saying a thing we can all be about this next year, is inviting the person to church. Wherever we're at in our journey, maybe it's just bringing that person with us to church. Who's in your crowd? What crowd is watching you on a regular basis? And what's God maybe asking you to invite them to? Maybe not just here in the, again, four walls of the building. Maybe into your home. Maybe into a conversation over coffee. What's he asking you to do as we just try to say, hey, this is the family of Northern Hills that all is falling in love with Jesus no matter what part of the journey we're on. Now, this teaching begins with the disciples. They're gathered at the feet of Jesus. Crowds are listening in. Did you notice that the eight statements in verses 3 through 10, they're bookended with two assurances. Check this out. Verse 3. We'll do a little Pastor Sam this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Say, kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. Awesome. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Say, kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. Now, sandwiched between those two verses, there are promises of the future. Check this out. This is verse 4 through 9. For they will be comforted. For they will inherit the earth. For they will be filled. For they will be shown mercy. For they will see God. For they will be called sons of God. There's a special meaning in this pattern. I believe there's two implications for us to be looking at here. First implication, by sandwiching those six promises in between two assurances, Jesus means to tell us something really important. And what he's telling us is that the six promises are representative of the kingdom of God. These are blessings of the kingdom. In other words, these six things are something an individual can count on. They are truths that we live by. So what are those six promises? That I have comfort for you, God's reminding us. That, you know what, I have given you earth ownership. You have authority in different places that you may not even think you have authority in. I am here to bring you satisfaction, to give you mercy, a vision of God. And he even gives us this awesome title, son or daughter of God. Those are his promises. And what's amazing about that is we don't have to pick and choose from the promises. Oh, I only get three out of those six. We have all of those promises. They all belong to the kingdom, which should give us hope. It should give us hope about change. But some of us that believe we can't change, I would tell you this. You're right, sort of, because our strength is going to be limited, right? Our willpower only has so much. It's not bottomless. Our determination will eventually run dry. And so it's if we were to just think about changing in of ourselves, we need the promises of God's kingdom to buffer that. I'll give you an example. Back in my senior year of high school, I was part of a weightlifting class, which I know you're looking at me, you're like, you're probably still weightlift, Brandon, and I get that. I was part of a weightlifting class, and I remember in this weightlifting class, again, it was just to cover some credits, I remember we did a lot of burnout reps, and so if you're not familiar, it's a lot of lightweight at many multiple reps, okay? I'm not going to share what I did or did not max out on. And I remember a friend of mine, he was my spotter, his name was Jeremy. Jeremy was an encourager. So again, it sounds easy at the beginning, you're doing low weight but multiple reps, but over time, and pushing that bar up, you get tired. And so I would remember where it'd be near the end of this set, and I'd be huffing and puffing, and Jeremy was just the encourager. Freda, you got this, man. Just keep going. You're gonna push hard. You got it. And I'm just giving it my all, and it's getting more and more tiring. And as I'm getting more and more fatigued, he would come alongside me, help me lift as my spotter, help me lift that bar, help me get that bar. Well, I remember this one time I'm going after it. I'm beat. I'm blitzed. I have nothing left. And the last five or six reps, he's spanning the room. He's looking at the room, lifting the bar for me. I've dropped my arms to the side, done. And he's still, yeah, afraid to feel that burn. Yeah, you got this, man. You're all over it. Keep the burn. And I'm just sort of like laughing at him. Like, what are you doing? Finally, he looks down at me and he just sees me sweating, done. Haven't lifted the bar the last five or six. And he's just looking at me. He's like, good burn, Freda. Good burn. Well done. And I'm like, no, you did that for me. You lifted that all for me. Well, what does that mean for us? See, working on our person, working on change in our lives, it's going to take all the strength you have, but it's going to take so much more. It's going to require someone lifting that weight on your behalf as well. We're going to need the power of God's kingdom in our lives. We need the promises of the kingdom and what they're going to bring to our life. So that's the first implication in those Beatitudes. The second implication, the other implication that we see here, is the fact that the first and last assurances, those are present tense. Read that. Theirs is the kingdom of God. That's a present tense. But the six in the middle are future tense. They will. They will be comforted. They will be filled. They will be shown mercy. It's a both and, present and future. This is Jesus' way of saying in a very real sense that the kingdom of heaven is present. Yes, to the disciples now, us, to the disciples then at that time. But the full blessing of the kingdom will wait. It will wait for the age to come. Another way to put that is that Jesus has brought the kingdom of earth today to us in his own kingly power. And the only way that he can through our fellowship, we can enjoy insights and experiences in the here and now. But it's also to point us towards the future, the full experience of life in the kingdom and what that means, the age to come. I'll give us a quick example. Verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Well, what's the full experience of comfort to you? Think of what that means, the full experience of what comfort looks like in your life. Revelation gives us a definition, 21 verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's the full experience of comfort. No more death, no more pain. And that's our future. That's what God has for us in the future sense of heaven. The full experience is that kind of comfort in the kingdom. But Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. So the final reward frames our present reward. It means that in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our pain now, in the midst of our mourning, we have an opportunity to rejoice. We have an opportunity to have joy. And it's important for us in our pursuit of heaven future that we also experientially go through that here in our heaven on earth now. Here's a note for our notes if you're taking them. The more we trust the promise, the more it's going to impact our present. the more we trust in that future promise, it will impact, it will frame, it will bring life to our present. Because we know this is true. Some of you have had some very difficult moments. You've had some difficult hand dealt to you. And in the midst of experiencing certain joy in that, you can't experience comfort. Joy is synonymous with some element of comfort. And when we rejoice now, in the midst of that pain and suffering, comfort does become a byproduct. And it only happens, I believe, because of the promised comfort, the fulfillment of what comfort's going to look like. But it works vice versa as well. Because if we can experience in the here and now that comfort, it almost gives us a preview. Those small moments of comfort in the midst of mourning gives us the small preview of what the future looks like. I hope this is starting to make sense. How we see heaven is how we live here on earth. And the point of that example is that the kingdom of heaven is both future and present. It's not either or, it's both and. The kingdom of heaven is future and present. And I believe this can be one of the most important things we who follow Jesus, we who are looking to build a relationship with Jesus, hold on to, is that when we learn about this in our Christian walk, it's an insight that begins to have the scripture come alive. Because if we're not living in a future and present state, then the Sermon on the Mount, quite honestly, I don't think we can understand it. I don't think the Beatitudes become confusing, because what would we make of Matthew 5:7? If we don't understand the present and future tense, we look at Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So upon just reading that initially, does that mean that God will withhold mercy until a future day of reckoning? Does it mean that God would wait to see if we are merciful? And if we're merciful, and if we're merciful enough, then we'll be able to earn his mercy. Because upon initial look, that looks like what it says. But if you know the kingdom isn't just a place, but it's a presence, then all of a sudden we start understanding the truth of God's word, that the kingdom is present, and it's in the future. But the kingdom of this world in the present means that God is continually drawing people to himself. That's what he's up to. In his mercy, he's saying that people will open their eyes to me. In my mercy, people will be drawn to me. The mercy of the kingdom of God is that he so loved the world that he would make a way, the only way, through his son, Jesus Christ. Because we didn't choose him first. He chose us first. Because we didn't think in our nature to accept him first and to go to him first. No, he came to us first. And there's a mercy in that that's present day for each of us. And when we get that mercy, when we understand that mercy in our present day life, I believe it allows us and it shows evidence of our mercy in the midst of our relationships. How we see heaven is how we live here on earth. So now what? Okay. That's all great. But what does that mean for this week then, Brandon? And here's what I'm going to suggest for this week. I'm going to suggest that we go back to the Beatitudes. That if we're looking for a frame and a reference for heaven in our today, we go back to Matthew 5, verses 3 through 10 this week. And that we're going to ask God to reveal maybe just one specific Beatitude to each of us. I think he'll honor that. I just trust God to honor in each of our individual, unique lives. This is the one I want you to focus on. And as he does that, and as he reveals to that, maybe you'll come alongside the blessed or the poor in spirit. And maybe for you, that's going to mean that it's time to admit that you aren't God. Maybe being poor in spirit will mean that it's time for you to say, I'm powerless to control everything. I want to. But this week, I'm going to do my best to not control everything. And I'm going to not only need him in my life to come and transform it, I'm going to need him to come into my life just to make things manageable. Maybe that's for you. Or maybe you'll come alongside the blessed are the meek. And that may mean that you're going to consciously commit all of your life to Jesus Christ's care and control of your life. Maybe you'll come across blessed are the pure in heart. And being pure in heart, maybe it's time that you're going to have to open up yourself to saying, you know what, I got to confess my faults. I got to actually confess that first to myself, I think. I got to confess that to God. Maybe I have to confess that to someone I trust. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Maybe it's going to be our time to yield ourselves to God, to be used to bring the good news to others. I'm not just going to count on Pastor Blank to share. I'm going to bring that good news because blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. So I'm going to be an example, and not just by my words, like the guy I visited with between services, but maybe because of my actions. I don't know what it is for you, but I trust that God is going to move in each of our lives to identify which beatitude he wants us to just live in and just have a conversation with him about. And here's what's going to happen when we do that. Here's what I believe is going to happen. When we are awakened to that present kingdom of heaven and that future kingdom of heaven, I believe it's not going to be just this invitation that happens to us or an invitation to start a relationship with God. That may be part of it. That may be part of it for you. Your open invitation to start for the first time your relationship with God. Praise God. If that's the case, do it. Start that. But for all of us, including those that have a relationship with Jesus, it's going to be a form of transformation. Because that's where God wants us to start, is in the authority of what his word tells us. Change. We're all looking for it. We're all looking. I mean, that's one of our missions here, right? To be bold agents of real change. Well, what happened with the boy and the newspaper? When I got my person put together, Dad, the world looked just fine. I believe so many of us are desiring for this world to change in so many aspects of this place that we live in. Maybe it's our governments or our rules of law or our standard of morality or whatever, just to change. But change is going to start. Change is going to start with each of us being transformed by the word of God. And when we don't have enough, which we won't, to lift the bar ourselves, God's right there to help us through those truths and those truths that are found in his word, the promises of the kingdom of heaven, to say, here is my comfort and here is my mercy. And even though you'll face persecution because of your righteousness, because of my righteousness in you, you will have victory. See, the light that shines in and through us, I love the Let Your Light Shine ministry stuff that we were able to celebrate today. When we allow God and that light to shine in each of us, the darkness seeks to exist. It can't exist. So let that be our anthem. And let that be the thing we embrace heading into this new year, that we will look for change. We will look to change our person. And maybe that'll frame the way we see the world. Maybe we'll start actually seeing the world that this is not our home, but as God's used it for our home for this time and this moment, however long he's given us, he wants to make a difference. If you're not dead, you're not done. That makes you important. That makes you purposed. That makes you have meaning. Happy New Year. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. So thankful for your word. So thankful for the truth you have for each of us in your word, God. May we as a people, as a family here at Northern Hills, embrace that your kingdom has come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Yes, it is a one-day place. We will see the fulfillment of things to come in the age to come, Lord, but your present here now is moving in this place. How we see heaven is how we'll live on earth. And Lord, we want to make the most of our time here. So invade our hearts, invade our minds, and change us. God, give us courage to take those steps of faith. And Lord, we know that faith has nothing to do with doubt and questions. Yes, we have doubts and questions, but that's not what faith is. Faith is empirical evidence, trusting that the God of miracles, the God who breathed life, you God who breathed life from the dust, you God who parted the seas, you God who invaded the three in the fire, Father God, you as the person that has come to change each of our lives and provided miracles, that you defeated death. You're defeating the deaths and the darkness in our lives. If we would just cling to you, if we would just hold on to you, and that would help us to be bold agents of that change, the light shining in a world of darkness. And so God, come in and invade us. We are inviting you. We are taking courage and trust in your word being the authority that says all those things are true, that you are who you said you are, that you did what you came to do, and you are not done. You are not done, and you are moving in this place. God, I pray for all of us to grip tightly to that truth today and into this next week, Lord. We pray these things in your amazing resurrected name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. If you'd like to get involved here at Northern Hills, check out our website at nhills.org or download the Northern Hills app. We hope to see you again soon.